I'm sure you'll be encouraged by what you hear of the work of the Lord as Ivan shares a bit about that later on. But before we do that, I wonder if we could just turn to God's Word and to the book of Colossians and chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Those of you who are in contact with SGA will know that February was a special month of prayer for the mission. And I just thought it would be appropriate this evening just to focus our minds on prayer and just taking up Paul's words from Colossians chapter 4 and just reading the few verses from verse 2 to verse 6 this evening. Let's hear God's word. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Somebody once asked Billy Graham, the evangelist, how they could be a better evangelist. And he said these words, spend more time in the study and spend more time in prayer. Prayer is essential, isn't it, for those who are preachers of the gospel. And Paul understood the importance of prayer for the success of his own ministry. He, of course, was a man of prayer. And we read how he continually prayed for the churches that he was connected with. But he also sought the prayers of God's people for his own ministry as well, as we see in these verses. And I just want to consider under three very short headings what he says about prayer here. First of all, the discipline of prayer in verse 2 there. Continue earnestly in prayer, he says. Or if you have another version, it might say steadfastly or devote yourselves to prayer. And these are not the words you would use of a gentle Sunday afternoon stroll, are they? The sort of words you would use of a hike up a mountain, to be earnest, to be steadfast. See, prayer is a discipline, and it requires dedication. It requires perseverance. Epaphras, we see later, is somebody who exemplified this. In verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. He labored in his prayers for the people in Colossae. Jesus himself, when he was teaching his disciples about prayer, in one of his parables, he said that they should always pray and not give up. Why is it that we find perhaps prayer difficult? I don't know, perhaps you don't. If you don't, please tell me the secret. Well, the Bible reveals, isn't it, that we're involved in spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. And that we have three particular enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And these enemies would come and they would seek to make our prayers as difficult as possible. They will distract us as we pray. We will be weary, maybe, as we pray. That we'll be discouraged and would want to give up in our praying. And all these things war against us. But we have the Holy Spirit to help us in our praying, as the Scripture tells us, and we're to devote ourselves to it. We're to be earnest and steadfast. It requires discipline. We must always pray and not give up. Secondly, I want you to see the attitude of prayer. Also there in verse 2, Paul says, being vigilant in it, or you might have in your version, watchful, with thanksgiving. Vigilance, watchfulness, thankfulness, the attitudes that we should adopt in prayer. Being vigilant means being alert in our praying. And one commentator says there are two aspects to vigilant or watchful prayers. There's one, it's being alert to what God is doing in the world, how he's building his church. And on the flip side, there's being alert to what Satan is doing and how he's seeking to destroy God's work. And one simple way, of course, that we can be vigilant in our praying, that we can be watchful, is on the mission field, and to take careful attention of what is happening overseas. As we receive those prayer letters from our partners overseas, reading them carefully, being encouraged by them, noticing also perhaps the discouragements, the things that we should be praying for, reading between the lines, maybe. And also we're to be thankful as well, Paul says, in our prayers. The psalmist says it's good to give thanks to the Lord. We do that in our prayers, don't we? And I guess we can be, sometimes our praying can just become a list of things that we're asking God for, almost like a shopping list. Or maybe our prayers become a grumbling and complaining about our situations. And yes, at times it's appropriate to do those things in our prayers. The Lord wants to hear us, our prayers. But we must always give thanks to the Lord as well. Because all the things that we receive come from the hand of a gracious God. And Paul says to be thankful in all circumstances, those good circumstances and also those bad circumstances. We must always continue to be thankful to the Lord for what he's doing. So we have the attitude of prayer there, vigilance and thankfulness. But finally, I want you to see the priorities of prayer here. Let me just remind you what Paul says from verse 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us, he says, that God would open up to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul's in chains, he tells us, in prison. I guess if I was in prison, I would be asking for an open door for the prison cell. But what does Paul ask for? An open door for the word, for the gospel. These are the prayers of an evangelist. And he also asks that he might be able to make it manifest, that he might have that supernatural ability, as it were, to be able to explain the gospel clearly to those who he speaks to, that he might be able to make the most of the opportunities that come his way, that nothing would hinder the word being preached. For opportunity and clarity, he asks for their prayers. And those are things we can be praying for, those who we know who are preaching God's word, aren't they? For an opportunity to preach God's word and for clarity as well as they proclaim it. We can pray it for those who are on the mission fields. Pray it for those who are in Eastern Europe and in the Central Asia and Far East Russia where SGA is working. And pray it for ourselves as well, that we might have those opportunities to share the gospel. And perhaps we need to also pray for boldness to take those opportunities, as well as for clarity as we preach. Well, may the Lord help us to be praying people in these days. 70 years. I was asked by our general director, Andrew, we would like a video which explains the history of SGA. 70 years of it. Great, I can probably manage that. We want it to be no longer than 2 minutes. Okay, well, I'm up for a challenge. So here we've got a short video that aims to tell as briefly as possible the history of SGA, not just the 70 years, but back further, because SGA started with a man called Peter Deinecker more than 70 years ago. And this seeks to tell that history now. Here we go.